Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you. God, we need you. God, trust me, which you already know, God. We need you more this Sunday than we did last Sunday. It's amazing what happens from Sunday to Sunday, how much can change in a week's time. But God, we thank you that we serve a God that does not change. You are the Lord and you change not. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means we can depend on your word. We can lean on your word. We can trust your word. We can stand on your word. We can build our life on your word, which is the solid foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us comfortless. God, you didn't leave us without the word. We have the blueprint on how to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. God, as we live and try our best to navigate in a dark, fallen, dying, decaying, and broken world, God, we thank you for your word, because your word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. God, thank you for clarity and vision, the ability to see and navigate through all this counterfeit idols and all this other stuff that bombards us daily. So we thank you for the light of your word, the lamp of your word, the illumination of your word. We thank you, Lord, that in you is light and no darkness at all. Yeah. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear, God. We need to hear from you this morning, not from man, but from the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. Speak to us now, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I say Mark 1? I did say Mark 1. Amen. Who's that back with me? Dominique is with me this morning. Dominique, we're going to be all over the place, so be ready. Amen. Dominique, let's start at Mark 1:21. Mark 1:21. When you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say hold up, pastor. I'm always going to say it. As long as I can remember to say it, I'm going to tell you, always take notes. I got notes on my notes. God is always speaking. Write it down when God gives it to you. And then throw that up on Facebook and tweet it out. Somebody Snapchat and Instagram that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's get the word out. God's given us a medium and a tool to connect with the whole world through the gospel. Through social media. Let's use it. Amen. All right. So here we go. Mark 1:21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. Somebody say amen. Amen. They're talking about Jesus. And they were astonished at his doctrine, at his word, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as just the regular people that were there. Somebody say amen. So here's Jesus. He's teaching with authority. Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath day, which is the custom of the Jews to this day. On the Sabbath day, they go, and their Sabbath day is Saturday, to go in and someone teaches. So they still do that to this day. And they are in the year, 5,000 and something. I forget the exact numbers because they don't believe that Jesus Christ resurrected and split time in half. So they're still waiting for the Messiah. They do not believe that all the requirements for the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Some do, some don't. Amen? Amen. Just like the rest of us, right? We talked about in the men's meeting this morning, some reject and some receive. So it's the same thing in the Jewish custom. So Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and we take a time out and just kind of pause and look at this evidence. This is what we call physical and circumstantial evidence of the existence of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In addition to us taking communion this morning, because he told us to do this in remembrance of him, and we've been doing it for 2019 years. Why? Because God said so. Why do they still practice the Sabbath? Because God said so. But then Jesus turned things upside down, because they went. And here's the circumstantial evidence that the resurrection happened, because people were saying, why? How do we know Jesus existed for 2000 years until Jesus came on the scene? They did the Passover and they did the Sabbath. Jesus dies, resurrects, and now they're doing communion. And the synagogue is still there, but they start this new thing called the church. And so where are we at today? We're in the church. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, splitting time in half. The synagogue is still there, but we have this new institution of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones, called the church. Why? Because Jesus Christ resurrected and split time in half. So the next time someone asks you, well, how do you know Jesus exists? You say, well, why do you think we have a church? Because after he resurrected, they started the church. That's the evidence. Because if not, they would still be going to the synagogue. All right, Pastor, make it plain. Okay, Dominique, let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I'm not going to tell that joke today about Acts 2 and 38. Merlin, why are you looking? You've heard it before, Merlin. I've said it 1,000 times. Okay, so here, there's a lady. and a guy is breaking into her house, and she's screaming Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. But she's just saying the scripture Acts 2:38. The guy runs, he gets caught by the police, and they say, man, what was going on with you? You're trying to break in the lady's house and you just took off running. He said, the old crazy lady said she had an axe in 2:38. She's just quoting scripture, Brother Jerry. That's all she, D.A., she's just quoting scripture, D. Realm, she's just quoting scripture. But when we get to Acts 2:38, now Merlin, next time, because I have a tendency, I'll be back here again at some point as we're studying. And if you look at me like that again, then I got to tell the story again. It's like Jill knows every time we're eating and we're having salad, I kind of lightened up a little bit. And someone asked for the salad dressing. And so now I got to tell the joke about, have you heard the one about why the tomato's red? Because he was getting dressed in a locker room and he walked in and didn't have on any clothes, and he saw the salad dressing, and he turned red. So he got embarrassed. So every time we have salad, hey, Jill, you heard one about why the tomato's red? Because he walked in and saw the salad dressing and got so embarrassed he turned red. Anyway, I tell those. Okay, anyway, so Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. If you don't have an underlying gift, it is a gift. That's why you can receive it. If you take it, or you can reject it, it is the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Amen. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. Lord, thank you for calling us. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. Somebody say amen. Sounds just like today. Amen. Then they that gladly received his word. When you're out preaching, somebody will gladly receive it and somebody will reject it. And it's just like then, you keep on moving. But then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's 3,000 souls added to the church. This is our physical, this is our circumstantial evidence. So instead of going to the synagogue now they're going to the church. It shifted. What did they do at church? Look at verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayer. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, when you go to the church, it could be a lot of shenanigans going on, but if it's followed according to scripture, we have the blueprint. We're in the word. We're fellowshipping. We're going to break bread and we're praying. Somebody say amen. Amen. You don't have to make stuff up. It's right here in the word. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, there on one accord. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man hath need. So that's why we give tithes and offerings, so that the church can be a blessing to others. They continuing daily on one accord, that's important, on one accord, which means with one mind in the temple, breaking of bread. This is what they're doing now. They're not doing the Passover anymore. They're not doing the other Jewish traditions anymore. The church has started. They continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Keep it simple. Somebody make a note of that. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate. Sometimes we can overcomplicate the gospel. It's deep, but it's not complicated. They kept it simple. What they do in verse 47, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the what? The church daily such as should be saved. Okay, let's go back to Mark 1:21. So we have the physical evidence. I have a few to read these. Kathy, so we have the physical evidence, the circumstantial evidence of the Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, changed lives and turned the world upside down. The churches that we see all around the world today is because of the power of the resurrection. So a couple of things that I also wrote. In Rome, one thing I learned when we were on our trip, and Sister Caraway Hazel, Sister Pat, Brandy, J.L. Tracy, and myself. But one thing that I learned was when we were at the Roman Colosseum, they talked about the Emperor Constantine in 300 A.D., 300 years after the death of Christ, he became a Christian, turned Rome upside down. And remember, Rome was persecuting Christians, feeding them to the lions. So in 312, Constantine gets saved, In 322, Christianity becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire. That's 300 years after Christ resurrected. And so it was one of those, I guess, Esther moments where when Constantine got saved, he said, well, who brought it here? I guess they said Paul and Peter. I said, what have we done for these guys? He said, well, we ain't really done anything for them. Well, where Peter's buried, there's a little church shack on top of it. He said, okay, we're going to change that. Now we have the Vatican. Okay, so everybody comes to see, whoa, this huge monument dedicated should be to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And then the same thing with Paul. So that's Constantine. It's historical fact. Okay, and so then you have when I had the opportunity to go to Egypt, the same thing. St. Mark, this Mark that we're reading here, he brought Christianity to Egypt in 32 AD, 32 years after Christ died, Mark is in Egypt preaching the gospel. And they get saved. In the 4th century, 400 AD, Christianity is the official religion of Egypt. I'm having a conversation with a coworker Friday, and she was saying, I've never heard this before. I'm like, yeah, well, all you have to do is study it. You can even Google it. Google, when did Christianity come to Egypt? It takes you all the way back to 32 AD in St. Mark. But when you go there and you see all the churches and everything, and she was saying, well, I was wondering what did people worship before the slave trade. That was in the 1400s. They were worshiping Christ long before that. Now, we know some perverted gospel came and took advantage of people and enslaved people. But you all know that it's a lot of false prophets out there. But the word of God stands and the evidence is clear. Jesus Christ was all throughout the Middle East, Africa, Rome, right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Could have been disputed if it wasn't true. And then here we are today. We come into a church to take communion. And we have to remember, we're standing on the shoulders of a lot of saints that built the foundation through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the word, and we just have to follow the model. It's as real as it can get. And when you have the opportunity to travel and see all the physical evidence around the world, then it just helps you as you're sharing with other people who want to make you think that Jesus Christ is right there with Marvel Comics and DC Comics. and Mount Olympus. It's not the case. Let me see. Jesus taught with authority. Jesus was teaching what he lived and lived by and what he was committed to. Not just something he had heard or read in a book. Somebody say amen. You can read it in a book and hear it, but it doesn't mean you're committed to it. The Jews had been teaching and practicing Judaism for 4,000 years. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything for thousands of Jews who became Christians. It should change our life. It should change our habits. It should change our perspective as well. Communion can't just be something we do on first Sunday. It has to be something we live every day. Let me say that again. Communion can't just be something we do on first Sunday. It has to be something we live every day. Live a resurrected life in Christ every day. Remember what he has done for us, the price that he paid for us every day. Yes, God does exist. Yes, Jesus was here. And yes, Jesus resurrected. So here they are in church. Verse 23. There was in the synagogue a man with the unclean spirit, and he cried out. So I guess you can be in church and have an unclean spirit. Amen. Because he was in the temple. He was in a synagogue with an unclean spirit. Somebody say amen. You have people say, well, I got to get myself together before I come to church. On the contrary, the scriptures say you need to get in church and then let Jesus deal with that unclean spirit. Somebody say amen. But, you know, most people don't want to come because you know what Jesus does? He exposes the unclean spirit just like he did right here. Unclean spirit got exposed in church and then had to make a decision. But verse 24, they're going to say, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know you. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Isn't that something? Demons know it, but we act like we don't know it. See, we live like we don't know it. It was a commercial a while ago where they were putting dummies in a car and without the seatbelt, and they were test driving, they're getting all busted up, and they say you could learn a lot from a dummy. Right? We learn a lot from a demon. Says, Jesus, I know who you are. They know. So why do we live like we don't know? He knows his deity, his character, his power, his authority. But we'll walk out of here filled with the Spirit of God and think and live like we don't have a clue as to who Jesus Christ really is. Jesus is not confused. The demon is not confused. The only one that leaves confused is us. We're the confused ones. And here's another side to that coin. Here's this demon talking to Christ. Dominique, pull up Job 1, 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Check number 7. The Lord said unto Satan, where are you coming? And Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. How is it that Satan can talk to God? A demon can talk to God, but we don't want to pray to God. Satan tries to convince us that we're not worthy to talk to God. They're out there and doing all types of ungodly stuff, and we see the evidence of it every day. But then they'll go talk to God. And we won't. And we'll listen to them tell us we're not worthy to talk to God. And then they go talk to God and know who God is. And we run from God as opposed to running to God. Here's a revelation. If God will dialogue with Satan and a demon who is his enemy, will not God look forward to the time that we talk with him, seeing how we are his children? Family, don't run from God, run to God. So here we go. The scripture's telling us we could learn a lot from a demon. Think about that. Please don't walk out of here stressed out, worried, and doubting God. God is on the right hand of Jesus, on the right hand of God, making intercessions for us at this moment. Jesus is actually praying for us right now. Not condemning, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. It's not condemning, he's praying for us. But the enemy wants to make us think that God is the bad guy. And we can't talk to God because of what we've done or what we thought or where we've been. It's not the case. So here we go. I love verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him. Well, let me read 24 because it goes together, saying, let us alone. Isn't that something? This guy's in church, evil spirit. Evil spirit speaks up saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? How do they know Jesus? Because they were all, at one point, they were all in heaven together before Satan got kicked out. So they know who's in charge. That's how they recognize him. Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him saying, hold your peace and come out of him. So in our vernacular, in our translation, shut up and get out. Write those words down. Write those words down. Pastor, why should I write them down? Let me tell you. Jesus told the unclean spirit to hold your peace or to shut your mouth and get out. It says, read this, Sister Kathy, so I have to read it. I wrote it. I got to read it. Sometimes you have to tell the evil spirit to close your mouth and get out. No need to dialogue. Shut up and get out. Instead of shacking up, shut up and get out. That's what somebody should have said. Shut up and get out. When you get that late night call, don't even answer. And if you do call, and if you do answer, here's what you say. Shut up and get out. Are you going to compromise and get caught up? Here's the revelation. You can't dialogue with a demon and win. When you start the conversation with the evil spirit, you've already lost. When you start the conversation, Dominique, take us to Genesis 3 and 2. Genesis 3 and 2. And the woman said, she should have said, what should she should have said? Shut up and get out. But what she's going to say, we may eat of the fruit of the tree. That ain't, see, you ladies, you're getting caught up. Ladies, you're getting caught up already. She should have told him, shut up and get out, and we wouldn't be in this mess right now, Sister Hazel. I got some notes on here. I wrote it. Read this. And young ladies, learn this phrase now. It's right here. I got to read it. Young ladies, learn this phrase now. It will save you pain, heartache, and possibly a pregnancy. Shut up and get out. It's in my notes. It's in my notes. Dominique, take us to Proverbs 7:21. Men, you're not getting off the hook either. No, it gets worse for us because we don't get it. Because our head is just a little bit harder. Here's a revelation. When you start the conversation with the evil spirit, you lose. And then when that evil spirit is trying to use you, you got to tell yourself to shut up and leave. Come on, Big Jerry. We're there and the evil spirit, say this, say that. You got to tell yourself, shut up, and then you got to leave before I get caught up. I got to tell the evil spirit that's trying to come out of me, Brother Ivy, I got to tell it, shut up, close your mouth, and leave. Because if I stay any longer, I'm caught up. Where are we at? Proverbs 7. With her much fair speech, she calls him. Why is he listening to that stuff? He should have told her a long time ago, shut up and leave. Shut up and get out. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. Why? Because he was listening to that stuff. He should have told her. Jay, he. And then it goes on to say, many strong men have been slain because they couldn't tell him, Sister Kathy, to shut up and get out. Next one. 7:22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox go to the slaughter or a fool to the correction of the stocks. Hit 23. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird haste to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Shut up, and he should have told her right when she started. Shut up, and she started talking about her husband's gone. She got her Egyptian cotton sheets and decked out and carved. She got the perfume from way out. He should have said, shut up and get out. Dominique, take us to Judges 16 and 7. I'm going all day. 16 and 16, Judges 16 and 16. I'm telling you, young ladies, learn this. You all going off to college, you better learn this now. Amen. When they come by your dorm, by your apartment. And you can tell it's the evil spirit because it's going to tell you to do something that God told you not to do. Amen. It's easy to tell. It ain't hard to tell. This is Samson. We've been studying him on Wednesday night. My goodness. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. See, he should have told her. After the first day, what he should have told her, Sister Yvonne? Shut up and get out. The first day when she came with, well, tell me where your strength lies. And you done made a fool out of me 3 times. 3 times you done made a fool out of me. But now this time it's going to be different. She pressed him with her words and urged him so that his soul was, he thought he was going to die. Ladies, y'all can do a job on us, boy. Woo! God help us. Let's go. What is next slide, please? All right. That he told her all his heart. He told her the wrong things. She was playing him. Cost him his eyes, cost him his relationship with God, cost him his life. And if he could have told her, shut up and get out, it would have changed the game. We got to read it. It's there. And said unto her, there. Not yet. That he told her all his heart. Gosh darn. Ladies and gentlemen, please, somebody's playing you. Don't tell them all your heart. I already told you, ladies, don't give somebody your heart. And you sure don't want theirs, because don't have me to go to Jeremiah with that wicked and desperately wicked thing. Who can know it? It's deceitful above all. You don't want that thing. Trust me, you don't. Said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Go ahead, Dominique. Now go to 18. And when she saw that he had told, all her heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he had showed me all his heart. Then the lords of Philistines came up unto her and brought her money. Been selling out for money for a long time. You know what he should have told her? When that evil spirit comes talking to you, don't complicate it. Shut your mouth and get out. All right, let's go back to Mark 1 and 25. Man, Jesus set the example. He's not going to dialogue with that thing. We have the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the authority. Jesus just said, shut up and get out. Verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, shut up and get out. Verse 26, and when the unclean spirit had torn from him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. had to get out, went kicking and screaming. That's how you can tell it's an evil spirit. It's going to put on a scene. It's going to create a scene, kicking and screaming, and you all this and you all that. That's all right. You just get on out. And ladies, I'm saying don't let it get to that part. Discern before it gets to that part. Ask for discernment before you get all wrapped up with evil spirit that you have to kick out. Before it gets too deep. God will make it plain from the beginning, but you have to be dialed in and you have to want to see it. Don't wait till it's all kicking and screaming because we see right here it looks like it got worse before it got better. Creating a scene. Think about it. Every time you create a scene, you know who's working in you, and it's not God. It's not a Holy Spirit. It's an unclean spirit sent from Satan, and you use being used to create a scene and get caught up in drama. At least you know. 26. I'm going to read this, then we're going to wrap this thing up. The evil spirit is going kicking and screaming and crying. I ain't going to even ask you to put your hand up if you had to kick somebody out and they kicking and screaming and crying. I'm not going to even go there. Just think about it. But at least you know what you were dealing with. Maybe you were the one kicking and screaming and crying. But they're going to get out in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody say amen. It may appear to get worse before it gets better, but keep your trust in God and never dialogue and compromise with a demon or an evil spirit. Verse 27, they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, man, what is this? What new doctrine? Jesus is the New Testament living. What new? This ain't never been done before. For with authority he commanded, he even the unclean spirits, and they have to obey him. Jesus, make a note, the most radical, compelling person in history ever. No one has ever did what Jesus Christ has done. Then he died, resurrected, split time in half, and told us to take communion in remembrance of him. Say, Pastor, I don't know if he really existed. Well, we're standing in a church today. Go all around the world and you're going to see a church. We're all in Turkey. We're going in churches. We're in Greece. We're going in churches. We're in Rome. We're going in churches. I'm in Egypt going in churches. We're in Israel going in the churches. You're in South Africa going in the churches because Jesus Christ split time in half. This same Mark went to Egypt. St. Thomas went to the southern tip of India. That's why they have Christians in India. Matthew goes to Ethiopia. The Ethiopian eunuch went back when he got baptized by Paul, went to Ethiopia and started a church. The church is still there. Well, I don't know if God exists. Well, you're not looking for God and you don't want to know. And you want to stay right where you are. And that's your choice. Either you receive or you reject. But that's your choice. So then verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Make a note, Jesus changed the game with his radical ministry. Jesus was radical. He was not some guy wearing a tie-dyed shirt with long hair and talking about peace and love everywhere. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. But Jesus became famous. By working for God, Jesus became famous. So famous that we are celebrating and taking communion 2019 years later and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Somebody say amen. So as we prepare for communion, Dominique, take us to 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. Don't let anybody tell you that Jesus Christ doesn't exist. Don't let them tell you it's a figment of your imagination, that it's really not what you think it is. We have the brothers come on up. Did I say 11:23?
Yes.
This is Jesus. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So family, as we just kind of reflect on the communion before while they're getting everything together, I don't want you to miss the fact that this is part of the evidence of the existence of Jesus Christ. Just like the Sabbath, communion, baptism, the church, how the game changed. First thing Jesus said when he was on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You can't walk around with unforgiveness. You can't walk around with hate in your heart, unforgiveness. Just like Christ, you and I, we have to forgive. God says if we can't forgive others, then he can't forgive us. It's that deep. It's not complicated, but it's that deep. We have to cast all our cares upon Christ because he cares for us. So as we're pondering and meditating and before we take communion, just think of anyone who you need to let go, who you need to forgive. Just like Christ forgave us. Ask God to help you forgive them. Not to hold any ill will in your heart towards anyone. And then think about all the things that God has forgiven you for, and then it's a lot easier to forgive somebody else. Think about all the stuff that you and I did when we didn't care about God. And Jesus died for that anyway. It's a faithful God. Loved us so much that while we were sinners, he died for us. Then he resurrected for us, saved us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Now he's asking us to live for him, tell others about him. Your purpose in life is to make disciples, to tell others about Jesus Christ. How you do that? Ask God how to do it, but you have a purpose. There's a world that's dying and needs the good news of the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God's chosen you and I to tell them to be light, salt, and love. So God, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins before we take communion. Thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. It's about receiving the free gift of salvation. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works. No one can brag and boast and say that they saved themselves. God, help us to humble ourselves, humiliate ourselves, and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't have it all together. I need help. I was on my way to hell. So I humiliate, I humble myself before God and ask him to save me because I can't save myself." And as we take communion and we remember what Christ has done for us, take it with seriousness. Understand the physical price that Christ paid so we could be free. He got beat, mocked, spit upon, hung on the cross so we wouldn't have to. God, thank you. In the name of Jesus, forgive us. Help us to live a life worthy to be called disciples of Jesus Christ. Brothers, go on and pass out the sacrament. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for always being there.
Always being there.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Every victory.
Thank you, Lord, for always being there. Thank you for being faithful. Yes, Lord, yes.
Ancient one, so